is their life on Mars?
Life on Mars? Still no word as of press time. But here's something we do know. Space is getting more and more crowded with junk. Yeah, trash. Orbiting jetsam, or is it flotsam? It turns out decades of space shuttle launches and satellites sent from Earth has left a space junk problem. And in low Earth orbit, this debris is dangerous, flying at more than 17,000 miles per hour. Let's talk about this with Christian Davenport. He covers NASA and the space industry for our editorial partners at The Washington Post. Hey, Christian.
Hello.
So I understand these pieces of space trash can be the size of a yellow school bus. How much is up there in this orbiting junkyard?
Yeah, there's a lot in varying sizes. The Pentagon tracks about 40,000 pieces of debris, but those are, you know, pieces that it can see. I mean, even something as small as an errant screw traveling at 17,500 miles an hour can cause enormous damage if it were to, say, hit a key satellite that the Pentagon relies on. As you mentioned, there are also, you know, spent rocket bodies that are as big as a school bus, but they have no driver and no steering wheel, and they're just sort of spinning wildly out of control up there. And the concern is that debris creates more debris, that if there's a collision, it'll cause more things to blow up and explode, and all that stays up there flying around and possibly could hit other objects.
I can't help it, Christian, as you're talking about, I was kind of floating around in collisions. I just think about Han Solo trying to fly through the asteroid belt. Never tell me the odds. and wondering if there's going to be a collision. But my serious question is, what do we know about collisions or close calls? Because there are important, say, Pentagon and intelligence agency satellites up there.
Yeah, well, what we know is they happen all the time, these close calls. I mean, the International Space Station occasionally has to dodge and weave from space debris. It has to fire its thrusters because controllers on the ground will be like, heads up, we got to move you because you might hit this piece of debris. And the concern is that this is going to happen more frequently. And the situation only got worse when last year Russia fired a missile to blow up a dead satellite, and that created even more debris, hundreds more pieces that weren't there before. So there are, you know, all kinds of companies, and the Pentagon, of course, tracks all of this stuff. But here's the thing. There are no rules to the road. So if the Pentagon says, hey, you know, satellite operator A, your satellite is going to hit satellite B, you might want to move it. They don't have the authority to force that satellite operator to move it. And in fact, some satellites don't have the ability to maneuver in space. They don't have propulsion. So this is, you know, a really, really big problem, and it's only getting worse.
So how might cleanup work? I can't imagine it's cheap to send up some version of a flying garbage truck up there.
Right. And this is what not just the United States government, not just the Pentagon, but countries in Europe and Japan and others are starting to figure out, like, hey, what do we do about this? And there are companies that can go up and grab a satellite and pull it out of orbit, and it'll burn back up in the atmosphere. But that's, as you mentioned, that's really expensive to do that. There is this emerging marketplace for what's called on-orbit servicing. So say you have a satellite up there, but it's just out of fuel. You could send up another spacecraft to refuel it, or if an antenna's broken, there could be a robot that could fix it. And if you have a market for that, then you could also do this debris removal. But the White House recently held a meeting on this. And what, you know, a lot of people in the space industry were urging is that the governments need to step up and lead and to create a market for this and say that this is something we're going to pay for in terms of this debris removal. And it can't just be one country. It's got to be all of these countries working together. And of course, that gets really difficult because the main polluters that we're talking about are the U.S., China, and Russia. And we don't always get along so well.
Yeah. And you just mentioned something I want to make sure I understand about, I guess, the disposal, as it were. Is the idea to take this trash and not bring it back to Earth to put it in some landfill or something, but push it further out so it goes out of orbit and burns up?
Yeah. I mean, so there are a couple of options. You could take it and just kind of get it out of of an orbit, you know, that's high enough. It's not a lot of satellites there and sort of like a parking orbit. Or I think a lot of what a lot of people are talking about is to deorbit it. And as it's plunging back through the atmosphere, and it'll then, you know, there'll be a lot of friction and some extreme temperatures. A lot of these pieces of debris and these dead satellites and rocket bodies will just burn up in the atmosphere and never hit the Earth. And they'll just sort of disappear. The problem is that they're staying in orbit and they're moving so fast. Eventually, at some point, they'll come down. But that could be 10, 20, 30 years. They could be up there for a long, long time before they, you know, fall back and burn up in the atmosphere.
Well, as you know, we know about SpaceX, we know about Blue Origin, there's going to be more and more life and travel in space.
Yeah, and SpaceX and Amazon and other companies like OneWeb want to put up more satellites into space and have approval for not just dozens, but hundreds and even thousands of satellites.
Wow.
But that's going to create, you know, a lot more spacecraft that are up there.
Yeah. Christian Davenport covers NASA and the space industry for our planetary partners at the Washington Post. Christian, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.